Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. Some of you already know this. My wife, Christine, loves sunsets. So earlier this summer when we were on vacation, we scouted out the perfect spot to see our first sunset over the Indian Ocean. Near where we were staying, there was a resort with a grassy knoll at the edge of the cliff, facing the ocean to the west. Perfect. When we arrived in the late afternoon and approached our sunset viewing spot, we were quickly surrounded by a young couple, the man dressed in white linen jacket and the woman in a glowing white dress. The two of them followed around by a photographer and her crew and surrounded by their friends and family. They were getting ready for their pictures on their wedding day on our sunset viewing spot. One thought came to mind. Photobomb. We certainly looked out of place with the couple in their wedding outfit, their guest all snazzily dressed, and we in our t-shirts and flip-flops. So out of consideration for them and for the photos that would be shown forever on Facebook and Instagram, we graciously gave up our spot. Actually, we were asked to leave. It was very clear to everyone that we were not part of the wedding. And sometimes weddings have a way of doing that. There usually is a clear sense of who's in and who's not. Weddings are often intimate gatherings only for friends and families who were invited. And for those invited, weddings are a perfect time for celebration, full of joy and meaning. Weddings in first century Israel also were very special. When I visited the Holy Land a few years ago, our group stood on a hill in Zipori National Park, and our guide pointed toward an area on the horizon and told us, "That over there is Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, and the town next to it." I'm having trouble with the connection, too. Where was I? Yes. Over there, the town next to it, was Cana. That wedding at Cana in the Gospel of John, there would be festivities for at least 3 days, with every relative and friend arriving in Cana for that special occasion. Weddings are for blessing the couple, celebrating and catching up with family and friends. So that is the context for today's gospel. A parable, a strange and harsh story that uses the wedding analogy to drive home a point. The parable starts with a grand gesture, a king. Through a wedding banquet for a son, a feast that likely spanned days, maybe even a week. But no one came. It was awkward. Again, the king pursued his guest, and they not only provided lame excuses, they even killed his messengers. Most anyone who has been involved in planning a wedding simply hopes that everything goes smoothly. But this was hurtful. and embarrassing. The king was so hurt, actually he was enraged. He did two things. First, he destroyed the people and their city. And then he invited everyone else his servants could find so that the wedding hall became packed with guests. This passage took place close to the end of Jesus' ministries. He was running out of time, so there was great urgency in his message to the Jewish people, so he probably told this story with a flair for the dramatic. The extreme language in this parable reflected just how serious Jesus was. So just as the king was rejected, Jesus' invitation for the Jews to follow him was also rejected. And just like the king's servants, Jesus' disciples would also be rejected and killed as they invited others to follow him. But the good news was the rejection by the Jewish people would open up the invitation to the Gentiles. All of us, even though we were not on the original guest list, were now invited. There was no longer who's in and who's not. All of us would come to join the festivities. But then there was a twist, a second parable. There was a man at the wedding who was physically there, but his heart was not. He was found not wearing a wedding robe, a garment that showed that he was part of the celebration, and that the host would usually provide that robe for the guests. So imagine this man sitting alone and not participating in any of the festivities. The king was so upset that he got rid of him. Although the king invited everyone, not all who came were sincere. So imagine going to a destination wedding with your significant other, and it is a wedding of her family member, and this was your first time meeting the entire family. They invited you for a whole weekend and paid your way because they really want to get to know you. Other than the ceremony and the banquet, there were many opportunities to stay up to talk, just do fun things, and hang out on the beach together. And even though this was the best opportunity to get to know the family, you didn't want to be there, and it shows. While everyone wants to talk to you, you're glued to your phone, or you stay in your room. You were invited, but your heart was just not in it. You're not interested. So how upsetting would that be? So imagine the kingdom of heaven is an experience of God pursuing us and inviting us. That's the first part of the story. All are invited, so we come as we are. But the second part of the story is that we also come with an open heart. The kingdom of heaven is more than just showing up when invited. God covets our devotion. God loves us with an unrelenting love, but also wants to be loved in return. Edward Schweitzer, a biblical scholar, wrote about this passage, that we can gain someone's love and still not have it, because love must be lived and realized afresh each day. Genuine love is mutual, and it is renewed every day. So all are called and invited, but few are chosen because few actually choose God back. So much competes for our attention every day. Being devoted to one person or one cause is extremely hard. But God is saying to us, come, be a part of the body of Christ. Get to know me. Every day is another day to devote ourselves to God and to be present to God. And when that happens, every day, over a lifetime, where the love of God is lived and realized afresh each day, God knows us, and we know God intimately. And what we sang in today's beautiful and intimate 23rd Psalm becomes very real to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the picture of the kingdom of heaven. God has invited us. So how might we invite God into our everyday lives? God loves us. How might we love God back? Might we pause throughout each day to recognize God's presence, say a prayer, and be thankful? Or might we notice the beauty of creation and appreciate what God has done around us? Might we set aside a few minutes each day to read and meditate on God's word? Might we find other ways to listen to God? Or perhaps we can ask God to show us what God's hopes and dreams are for us each day. God invites all of us into this special relationship, and God desires us. So let us respond by seeking God wherever we find ourselves each day. Let us grow in our love of God that is lived and realized afresh every day. Let us devote ourselves to God. Amen.